Greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to be with us today. Give us your wisdom, discernment. Lord, you're telling us over and over, hardships are coming. A great storm is on the horizon. The deep state storm is almost here. Father, we ask you to give wisdom and cause your people to pray and put a blood covering over themselves and pray for the families and peoples that they have believed for salvation, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll help us to do these things and get prepared for this thing. First thing I want to share with you is Angelica Garza's revelation on 8/5/19. Which I believe is telling us that this storm is almost here. And, of course, we've been saying that for a little bit here. We've been suspecting it. The deep state is getting pushed into a corner with all of the revelations. Of course, and as they catch people going up the ladder, they're able to identify people further up, and it's getting to the place where the elite are threatened. So, anyway, she said, in the dream, there was a huge tornado, so big that I could not see the width of it from standing position. Meaning, of course, I believe it's talking about across the nation. In the dream, what came to mind was the deep state. That was in the dream, this came to mind, okay? So, and all the destruction they have planned for the people. I was rebuking the tornado, and I was pretty close to it. And I believe that close here means that it's almost upon us. I was casting it down in Jesus' name. It had some effect on the wind that I was putting out, that it was putting out, and its movement for the moment, but not much. And I knew that it was not God's will to stop its destruction. Yes, we've been receiving this word quite often, is he's got a plan basically to deliver those who are in bondage to apostate Christianity and its leadership. And he's going to use the deep state to do this before they are taken down. She went on to say also a childhood friend I'm not in contact with was beside me. His name is Thomas. In my mind, I was thinking, what is he doing here? Is he even saved? Well, I believe that many lost will be spared by our actions. Not that he's going to take away this judgment, but that people need to be spared if they're going to be saved, right? Then, when I saw this thing was not slowing down anymore, we ran for cover behind a wall of what seemed like a school building. I'm not sure. The walls surrounding us were brick walls. Well, our training is the thing, school training, is the thing that gives us the faith of the Passover lamb in Psalm 91. No plague will come nigh thy tent, right? So, you know, we need to continue to hold fast to the confession, have a clean heart, confess our sins, etc., etc., things we've been talking about lately to overcome evil, right? She went on to say it was like the shape of a bathroom stall, but it did not have a toilet, front wall with a door or ceiling. And I'm thinking that judgments like this cause people to get rid of waste in their lives. And it will be seen by others because there's no protection here. You see, it'll be seen by others. You know, when trouble comes, God's people get right with him. They cry out to God and they give up things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. You know, so I believe that this is a good revelation. The storm was raging over us, and I was praying to God for protection. And when I looked up, I saw what seemed like an invisible ceiling. and the water was running off of it. And this made me think of the Passover. Yes, amen. You need to be under the Passover lamb. Eat the lamb. Get the word into your heart. The lamb is the word. When they ate all of the lamb, they had a Passover. And the destroying angel passed over and delivered them, right? And I also went to reading in my Bible where I left off. It's the Lord. He's a coordinator, right? And felt that there was a connection to the dream. I was reading Luke chapter 21, and these verses stood out to me. Luke 21 and 22, and this is NIV. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. I'm going to come back to this and address this in just a minute with a verse that we also got in our morning meeting. It's very, very similar. Luke 21:24. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, naturally speaking, of course, this is not this timing, but there's going to be a trampling down of apostate Jerusalem. That's what we've been receiving over and over. Jerusalem represents the leadership of God's people. There's an apostate Jerusalem, and there's a good Jerusalem we call the bride. A bad leadership and a good leadership that is coming on the scene. Another one, Luke 21, 32 through 36. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. It's true. We've been just talking about that in our last meeting, you know, how that the distractions of the world are keeping God's people from doing what they need to do at this time. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Well, amen. Pray. This is a time to pray. Pray for your relatives. You who are Christians and who are disciples of Christ and who walk under the blood of the Lamb and who walk by faith will have no problems. But you also know people you've been praying for, and you need to pray for them. You need to exercise your faith for them and put a prayer covering over them. And because remember, God's promise to answer your prayers. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. I know you've prayed for your relatives, your friends, and so on and so forth, and loved ones of all kinds. And you need to hold fast to that even when the storm is here, because you've asked and you are to believe you've received, and also give your great good confession in the sight of witnesses, right? Amen. Well, you know, we constantly, the 6th was our last morning meeting and morning prayer meeting, and by faith at random, we always get our verses and bring them, and a lot of them, well, right down the line of what we're talking, and it usually happens that way. Here's one from Debbie that I spoke about just a moment ago. She received by faith at random. Ezekiel 12:21-28. Remember, the fulfillment of all that has been written is about to happen. It's the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that is written. And here I'm coming back to it here in this verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Yeah, okay, you know, people say that too quickly. They always say it too quickly. God's very gracious and merciful, and he does plan down the road to do the things he said. Some of those things can be annulled by the faith and repentance of the saints. Some of them are coming down the road. But some people say, oh, that didn't happen. Well, it didn't happen in their timing, but listen to what God says. They say the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. Isn't it interesting that these visions are warnings of what's to come, and they're not ready to wait till it's that time to see what's going to happen? For there shall be no more any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. There's a lot of that too. And I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall be performed. It shall be no more deferred. In other words, he won't be pushed down the road anymore. He does delay. Sometimes when people cry out to him, like Amos did, you know, like Jonah did, you know. For in your days, O rebellious house, this was the apostate people of God, will I speak the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesies of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be deferred any more, but the word which I speak shall be performed, says the Lord. Okay, and here's Brandy's verse, Ezekiel 21, 8 through 15. I'm going to read a portion of it so we don't run out of time here. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. Say, a sword, it is sharpened and also furbished. It is sharpened that it may make a slaughter. It is furbished that it may be as lightning. Shall we then make mirth? The rod of my son, it contemneth every tree. And it is given to be furbished, that it may be handled. The sword, it is sharpened, yea, it is furbished, to give it into the hand of the slayer. Cry and wail, son of man, for it is upon my people, it is upon all the princes of Israel. Yes, the Lord has been giving to us especially verses that take out the leadership of God's people because they're leading them astray. They're making comfortable when things shouldn't be comfortable. They're not leading them to be disciples or to humbly submit to the word of God, which is basically our cross, right? It goes on to say, they are delivered over to the sword with my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh, for there is a trial. And what if even the rod that contemneth shall be no more, says the Lord. Thou therefore, son of man, prophesy and smite thy hands together, and let the sword be doubled the third time. One time I thought that might be the third world war, but I know he's not talking about that here, although the second seal looks to be the first real world war, because it's the whole earth that's going to be at war. Interesting. The sword of the deadly wounded, it is the sword of the great one that is deadly wounded, which entereth into their chambers. I have set the threatening sword against all their gates, that their heart may melt, that their stumblings be multiplied. It is made as lightning, it is pointed for slaughter. So he's talking about coming against the apostate people of God, and especially their leadership. And here's one here, another one, which is very interesting. Both of these were in Ezekiel 21. One of them was 8 through 15, and the other one was 18 through 25. Okay, what are the chances of that, right? The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. This is Barry's text that he received by faith at random. A sword of the king of Babylon may come. We've been sharing on this, that the Lord has been teaching us and showing us that this is going to happen before they're taken out by Cyrus and the people with him. They twain shall come forth out of one land and mark out a place. Mark it out at the head of the way to the city. Thou shalt appoint a way for the sword to come to Reba of the children of Ammon. And these, of course, are people who have factioned against the people of God. And they're not going to escape, according to this. And to Judah in Jerusalem, the fortified. And this is apostate Jerusalem that was taken out by Babylon. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. And they're full of divination. They're Satanists, so they're full of divination. He shook the arrows to and fro and consulted the teraphim. He looked in the liver. In his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, to set battering rams, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to set battering rams against the gates, to cast up mounds, to build forts. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, who have sworn oaths unto them. But he bringeth iniquity to remembrance, that they may be taken. It's a false divination, I believe, because it's God himself that is turning them in this direction, which is also going to bring destruction unto them. Okay? They're looking for favor in their divination, and this is going to bring neither favor to the apostate Christian leadership or to the deep state. It's going to bring favor to neither. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, and it is being remembered. The D-class is leaking out, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear. And yes, they are appearing fantastically. Because that you are come to remembrance, you shall be taken with the hand. And thou, O deadly, wounded, wicked one, the prince of Israel, this is talking about the leadership of apostate Israel again, whose day is come in the time of the iniquity of the end. But we also always get these speaking about the bride and the safety that the Lord is going to put the bride in. Gaino got this, Isaiah 35, 8 through 10. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. You see, there's no curse on a people who are walking in the holy way. That means sanctified, separated unto God for his use, right? The unclean shall not pass over it. Nope, they can't get on this highway. But it is for the redeemed. The wayfaring men, that's travelers on a broad road, contrary to the narrow way of holiness, right? That's what that wayfaring means. Yea, fools shall not err therein. The fools will not be on this road. It leads to Zion. It leads to safety. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. They shall not be found there. Notice, there's no destruction going to be found on that road to holiness. As a person is on their way, seeking the bride, seeking the true leadership, and on the road of holiness, their judgment is not going to happen. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness, and joy and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Vanessa got Isaiah 65 and 19, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. Considering Angelica's revelation there, I wanted to share with you something I've shared a couple of years ago. how that I feel that George Washington's vision is speaking about this invasion. And I'm going to read it for you. I know it's probably one of the most read visions, you know, out there, I imagine. It's very famous. It's been around a long time, as you know. And I felt the Lord impressed me that George Washington's vision of an invasion from the East was happening, with Islamists coming into the United States, both with permission and illegally. I'm not going to read the full vision. You can go and read that. It's on our site. Washington saw two future wars fought in the United States soil that were fulfilled: the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. This was, you know, proven this vision to be extremely accurate. This, of course, gives credibility to the rest of the vision. In the last part of the vision concerning these end times, the third invasion appears to have come, and its resulting war comes soon after. So here's George Washington's vision of the third and most fearful peril. See if it doesn't sound exactly like what's happening out there around us. "Again I heard the mysterious voice saying, 'Son of the Republic, look and learn.' At this, the dark shadowy angel placed," this is an angel that appeared to him to show him these visions. He was in prayer when this happened, and he related it to others, and they passed it on to us. "At this, the dark shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts, and taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa." God's bringing a jihadist invasion from these continents to make war, especially against the Christians and the Jews. He went on to say, "Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these continents arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. And throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men." Well, I'm going to tell you, Dimitri Dudeman said about the civil war that was coming in America, that it was started by the communists. Now, you can call these people anything you want out there, but they're communists, because they're the ones that's starting this war. They're the ones holding the gate open down there to fill the country up with their militias, right? That's why this red color. "These men, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of the cloud, and I dimly saw that vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities which I had seen springing up." A prophet friend of mine from years ago, he said, he told me that the Lord took me to the streets of America and I saw the cities on fire. There it is. And he said at that time he knew that the Muslims were going to start these fires and march throughout the land. And he used, because he thought it was going to happen at that time, he said, "We have 8 million Muslims in America." Well, we have a lot more than that now. "And when the war breaks out in the Holy Land, and when America gets involved, which they have, and which they have made themselves enemies of Islam by doing this, they will burn America to the ground. And I saw Muslim women coming into America, and in their inner body parts, vials of anthrax and biological chemicals. I saw 180 million, now this is part he saw in the vision, not the 8 million part. That was his thought, but he said, "I saw 180 million Americans die in a 72-hour period. He also spoke of many people being butchered, as we have also seen in dreams by the jihadists in America. Even dreams that happened, we remember a brother and sister, Charlie and Linda, had almost the same dream in the same night. And it was just about this, them invading a certain city and butchering people. I believe the third war that Washington saw has started with the Islamic jihadist invasion into the U.S. from Europe, Asia, and Africa for the purpose of making war on the people and making this a Muslim nation. ISIS is streaming across the southern border as the Border Patrol is unable to detain them all and has to turn them loose sooner or later anyway. There's a video out there on the internet by Avi Lipkin, L-I-P-K-I-N. It's from March 26, 2015, and it speaks about the Muslim radio stations repeating the Saudi demand to make America a Muslim nation. And the plan, he stated back then, is to bring tens of millions of Muslims into the United States. And there's also mentioned the plot to destroy Israel and Iran by using them against each other. Let me just say that the elite are cornered as investigations leak out their crimes, and the Lord has told us that they're going to come out fighting with an attack on America soon. The globalist elites have kept the border open to bring in their troops, who are not just for voting. That's a cover. It's a good cover. It's true, too. But this is one of the reasons right here. They're bringing in their troops, and they're going to join with the Islamics here who are training for jihad here. ISIS is flooding into the country with Hamas. Antifa has also been caught procuring weapons. I believe a large rebellion is about to begin. They're also going to spray chemical biologicals from the sky, as they have to a lesser extent done already. They own this. Now, let me just tell you what's happened here. We went for, I think, maybe a month without any chemtrails, or at least you couldn't see them. And regular clouds came back. And just in the last few days, the spraying has come back. Now, I know some people say this is some anti-agent. You know, I don't know. I can't prove any of that. It sounds silly. I don't really know. We'll see. But anyway, those planes are still flying. And besides, the elite own the pharmaceutical companies, and they don't make money on healthy people. The chemtrail fleet was built by these monsters, and they all claim that the population is unsustainable, and they want to bring it down to a fraction of what it is. They know how to do that. They're the ones that have been making wars for years. All of the world wars were started by them. Okay. And unscreened Muslims are flooding into the United States with government permission, and not including those that are coming over the border while it is being held open by this criminal leftist here, or those that they are capturing and releasing, and all this. They're still flooding into the country. What do you think this is all about? And many don't understand the sovereignty of God, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. You can't do anything against the Lord. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And he works all things together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his good purposes, right? And I believe that the Lord showed me that when people get the fear of the Lord, God's going to turn this thing around. Many do not understand when I say that God ordained this chastening. The rebellious church, on the rebellious church, to bring many to repentance through this fear of the Lord. And without this, many would not bear fruit and be saved. The Lord will bring more to repentance than all the lukewarm preachers could ever do through chastening. So pray. Pray and believe God. As you saw in Angelica's revelation, we also have believed that this is not something that can be stopped. It is something that is ordained of God. And ISIS is in the United States by their own admission, and they're planning attacks too. Al-Qaeda and other Islamic jihadists are here to make war. Under Obama, a woman witnessed that large buses with whited out windows were coming over the border with Homeland Security and its logo on the side of them. Whited out windows. Who are they trying to hide? She decided to go and speak to one of the drivers at a stop, who told her that he was transporting Muslims to cities in the United States. Coming over the border in the bus, no papers, no nothing, just getting it done, right? And ISIS has claimed it can smuggle nuclear weapons through Nigeria and Mexico and into the United States. Others say the Russians have planted nuclear weapons here for future use. One thing you can study, Nazi Germany's Night of the Long Knives, and it took place in the time frame of a jade helm. Believe it or not, you remember that practice, that everybody was very suspicious that this was not for our good. Nothing under Obama or Hitler-y was for our good. They want to wake out Christianity. Well, consider my prophet friend's statement from years ago. We have 8 million Muslims in America, many more now, obviously. And when the war breaks out, and America gets involved, 8 million Muslims will burn America to the ground. It's not so shocking that Egypt has accused Turkey of providing Turkish passports to members of ISIS, the Islamic State, to facilitate travelers of fighters across the region. You know, there are people working against us who are supposed to be our allies, you know. And of course, we know that ISIS was raised up by Obama and Hillary for the very purpose of wiping out Christians across the Middle East. And they did that. Of course, the mainstream media didn't cover it very well, or not at all. They want their World War III, and they may get it in the second seal. In Revelation 6, when the whole world is at war, they may get it then. Well, we don't really want them to get it now. They want to get it now. They're pushing it now. They're trying to get it now. And I think it's going to wait till just a little bit until the tribulation starts. The man-child is here in Revelation 6 and 1, and then that war starts. I'm going to go back to the vision. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of swords, and shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." Where the voice had ceased, the dark shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Well, it's apparent that at this time enough repentance is given to America and the chastening has been enough that God says enough. Because he goes on to say, instantly a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America, which was basically caused by the deep state, the UN, basically. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word union is nice, and who bore our national flag in one hand and the sword in the other, descended from heavens, attended by legions of white spirits. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately, taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Now, we were told here that the inhabitants of America were warring with the invaders. And I prayed about this, and I felt that the Lord told me that when the Christians fear God and start being a witness of true Christianity, the inhabitants of America will begin to listen and be given victory by the Lord. I want to say that God, in his permissive will, weapons are used by people who are ignorant of God's ways. Christians don't need weapons. I know some of you may disagree with me on that, but I say we got more power without them. He that takes the sword will die by the sword. That's the promise of God. He's talking to disciples, not just what we loosely call Christians, you know. So, I remember when I was young in the Lord, and the non-Christians would ask forgiveness whenever they said bad words or things around us, that they were convicted. And it was a normal thing. There was a respect for Christians and for our God. But now that Christianity has sunk so low, is so corrupt, has been caught in so much sin and hypocrisy, this respect is not there. Is it any wonder that God would send chastening before it's too late? These so-called inhabitants of America, even though they war with flesh and blood, can have that conscience again. And it would come, obviously, I believe, from a good witness from us. Right. Getting back to this vision. Again, amid the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." As the voice ceased, the shadowy angel, for the last time, dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back, together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Well, notice the armies, you know, the different groups, plural, were fighting with the Americans, right? And then, once more, I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I'd seen them before, while the bright angel, planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, "While the stars remain and the heavens send..." Now, there is a time when when the heavens cast down stars, right? We know that from the book of Revelation. "And the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the union last." And taking from his brow the crown on which the blazoned word union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people, kneeling down, said, "Amen." And here's the interpretation. The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and I at last saw nothing but the rising, curling vapors I first beheld. This also disappeared, and I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor, who in the same voice I had heard before said, "Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful for her is the third." And that's the one we're talking about. but the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Well, you'll notice the whole world will not prevail against her, meaning the beast, the UN, will war against her and lose. But I can tell you, the country's not going to be the same. And a lot of people are going to die between here and there. He went on to say, let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and union. Of course, Romans 12 and 18 says, if it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. Amen. So with these words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown me the birth, the progress, and destiny of the United States. Such, my friends, the venerable narrator concluded, speaking of Washington, were the words I heard from Washington's own lips, and America will do well to profit by them. Now, that is, I believe, a warning to us. We can see it happening. We can see the invasion happening. We can see the mainstream media pronouncing over and over slander through its mouth as a false prophet to demon-possess multitudes of people out there. And it's happening. We've seen it here. We knew it happened with the faction with us, that the demon, through slander, demon possession, faction, witchcraft, so on, was passed on to others very easily, just by lying words. And it's happening across the country. When it started happening across the country, we recognized, wow, this is the same thing we've gone through. These are the same demons. And we didn't know that it was going to happen across the country. And it is happening across the country. They're not calling it demon possession. We know what it is. We've been able to cast them out in particular instances. People have been freed. And others not, because God turned them over and he wasn't going to free them. And here's something interesting, too. This is from the HalTurnerRadioShow.com. On July 31st, 2019. According to the Nuclear Emergency Tracking Center website, radiation readings in Portland, Maine have skyrocketed to 633 counts per minute. Remember that number, 633 counts per minute, of deadly gamma radiation in the 600 to 800 keV range, prompting a, quote, Raycon 5 alert. Nearby Concord, New Hampshire, is also showing a sudden inexplicable spike in radiation to its present high reading of 338 CPM, counts per minute. According to nuke professional readings, this high can be dangerous for humans, their chart explains. 100 clicks per minute is an alert. No need to panic, but you do need to stay out of the rain and avoid unnecessary trips. 150 clicks a minute is real risk of cancer if you're exposed to it for a year. 500 clicks per minute is a real risk of cancer if you're exposed to it for 90 days. Remember what I said a minute ago? 633 counts per minute. Right? 500 clicks per minute is a real risk of cancer if you're exposed to it for 90 days, and if the radiation gets inside your body, it's 20 times more powerful. It is not known at this time what is causing the radiation levels to suddenly spike to this amount. I don't know either. Can it be that these buried nukes are being uncovered? I don't know. I have no idea. A gamma ray or gamma radiation is penetrating electromagnetic radiation arising from the radioactive decay of atomic nuclei. Gamma radiation has to do with nuclear bombs. And why is gamma radiation spiking in 13 American cities? Bangor, Maine, Bar Harbor, New York, Concord, New Hampshire, Worcester, Massachusetts, Brookline, Massachusetts, Nashua, Massachusetts, Hartford, Connecticut, Long Island, New York, Syracuse, New York, Albany, New York, Burlington, Vermont, and Ottawa, Canada. I don't know. And I don't know why they're not making a bigger deal out of it. But let me say, false flags are in the making, you know. And this is for the purpose. I have no doubt they're always going to blame it on someone else. It'll be the Russians that did it. It'll be the Iranians that did it. It'll be the deep state that did it. These are the ones that are being threatened. These are the ones that are being locked up. These are the ones that are getting exposed very fast as you lock them up going up the chain of command. Okay. These are the people that are doing it. And what should we do about it? We should pray. I want to tell you, you know, that we need to pray and exercise our faith for our loved ones that we've been believing for to be saved for years. This may well bring it about. I do believe that coming behind this is a great revival. And also the Man-Child Ministry is on its way. And also Planet X is on its way. The judgments are going to come one right after another, I believe. Everything that's been spoken to us is going to come. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you put a spirit of prayer in your people, Lord, that you pour out your spirit upon your disciples, Lord, whose faith is really the only faith out there. There's a lot of religion and a lot of false Christianity out there, and a lot of people standing in the way that you tell us you're going to remove out of the way. And thank you for that, Lord. We can't imagine the people of God being ready to follow the Man-Child Reformer ministry into the wilderness, which is going to be made by some of the stuff that's going on that we've talked about right here. We can't imagine they would follow them as long as they've got their apostate ministers that haven't been chastened or removed or the respect for them removed, etc. So, Lord, we know you know what you're doing. You've told us these things, and we put our trust in you, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to keep those people that we have believed you for. And, Lord, your elect out there, we ask for your provision, your knowledge given to your elect of your Psalm 91 Passover, that your people would escape these things. Lord, we're praying and asking, Lord, that you would put it in the heart of your people to pray for the people around them, pray for the elect. And as we just recently shared, pray for the man child and the woman going into the wilderness and pray for the bride, right? The Lord just gave us a very good revelation of that. Pray for them, pray for them. The bride is under the man child. Just as it was in Jesus' day, is going to raise up the church. And, there's a great falling away, as we know. And the Lord is raising up people to bring this to pass. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We know that you're going to do a great work. We know that all of this is working together for our good. We're not afraid, Lord. We thank you for delivering us from any fear of any of these things, even at the moment of the storm, Lord, that your people will be filled with faith and boldness and be a witness for you. And even in parts and portions rebuke the storm so that it doesn't harm certain people or certain communities or whatever. Lord, we know that you do these things. We know that your angels are out there too. We've had wonderful revelations of angels coming down and protecting people from this coming storm. And we know it's going to happen. Father, have mercy upon us. Grant us grace to be in prayer in these days, not to be distracted by the things of the world, but be in prayer for your power to be manifested in your people. And let them be a guide and a shelter. And like Angelica's revelation, you know, the lost person that was with her and taken by her to a place of safety. We know that you do these things, Lord, for your purposes. There are people that if they died now, they wouldn't come in to your purpose. And we pray that that don't happen. We know it will happen to some of the called, but it won't happen to the elect. And so, Father, we pray that you fill us mightily with your word and with wisdom, and that people will listen to us when we warn of these things that are coming. Relatives sometimes don't want to listen to people who have warned them before of things, and they don't want to listen. But, Lord God, you can talk to them in more ways and in better ways than we can. Lord, we ask you to send out dreams and visions to people that you want to protect, to warn about the things that are coming, to impress them to be careful and be with you and to draw near to you and so on. Everything, Lord. Give wisdom, give direction to people. Thank you, Father, for doing this. In the name of Jesus, Father. Well, saints, I hope you remember this past the moment that you finished this recording, if you're listening to it that way, or live, or whatever. We hope that you will remember this and continue to do this. These things are coming. These judgments are coming. And we just pray that you will do your job. Amen. We'll try to do ours, and you do yours. Thank you. Thank you for the things that you send in to us, the revelations you send in. Thank you for everything that you do, all your prayers for us. We appreciate it very much. Your contributions, we appreciate it very much. We don't talk about that a whole lot because I guess it's a kind of a worldly thing that the worldly church, that's all they talk about, you know. But we don't ever talk about that. And we don't preach gimme sermons and stuff like that. But we do appreciate you who have sent in your gifts and kept us going. We just trust the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, so much for your goodness to us, your grace to us. Thank you, Lord, that we're under the blood covering. Thank you that we have the Passover lamb and we are eating that word of the Passover lamb so that we can have this Passover. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. And also, Father, we thank you for blessing Michael to bring a good word to the brethren, too. In the name of Jesus. Amen.